Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, 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 welcome to another episode of Why Don't I Just Get Started? I am your host, Robert Farrell, and I have not been here for a long time. This week, or I guess it was last week, I completed my master's degree. Is my second master's degree. The first one I completed was in education, and I completed that in the year 2001, I believe. This degree is in American history, and I completed it 15 years later in 2016. My first degree was in education, and it was not something I enjoyed or even particularly wanted to do. I did it with some initial enthusiasm, but shortly after beginning, I realized I didn't really want to do it. I didn't really have much intrinsic interest in the topic of education or pedagogy or andragogy, which is the study of adult education. I really was not enjoying most of it, though some of it was okay. But I did it mostly for the money, and it did give me a substantial raise, and that was nice. But about halfway through the program, I realized I don't even want to be a school teacher anymore. And I remember exactly halfway through the program realizing I no longer wanted to be a teacher and made the decision I was going to get out of education. And I also remember when I made that decision how happy I felt, how lighthearted I felt. I started reading again. I started exercising again. I felt enthusiasm for life again. It was a wonderful time. Unfortunately, for various reasons, I stayed in the program, and then I stayed in education another 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years. And for the most part, those were very difficult and unhappy years for me. Until I finally, again, decided I no longer wanted to be in elementary education. And then, that time, the second time, I did get out. I got into adult education and have been in that 11 years now. And for the most part, that's been a terrific job. So, as I said, last week, I finished my second master's degree in history, and I'm actually sad that it's over. I enjoyed it, even though it was hard and it took up all my time. I'm kind of sad that it's over, and I'm kind of happy and relieved at the same time. But I did it actually because I was always, I have always been interested in history, and I wanted to do a master's degree in history shortly after finishing my degree in education, but for various reasons, I chose not to. And didn't, but this time I did, and now I'm done. And I have 2 master's degrees, and it sounds silly to keep bragging about that, but it's kind of fun. Doing the master's degree took up a lot of my time, and I used that as the reason for not doing these radio shows. But there were plenty of times I could have done the radio shows and chose not to. And rather than say, so now I'm going to come back and do them all the time, I'd rather just say, I'm going to do one tonight and then see what happens tomorrow. And that sort of ties in, all of this sort of ties in with my topic tonight, can we change the world? And the question came from a discussion I was having with my pastor today at lunch. He took me to lunch to celebrate my completion of my master's degree, and we were talking about a lot of things. Today is September 26, 2016, Monday night, and there was a debate on television between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Now, if someone is listening to this right now, who is living right now, they know, I can almost guarantee that they know who Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are. And if they're Americans, or if they're following American politics, chances are they have a strong opinion one way or the other on whether Trump or Hillary Clinton should win the election. Having just finished a master's degree in history and having long had a sense of history and particularly of presidential topics, I think I can say that this may be the worst presidential choices I've ever seen in my lifetime. And a lot of people are pretty impassioned one way or the other. And I haven't been following all of this religiously, but my understanding is that neither Trump nor Hillary are particularly ideal candidates. Trump often comes off as hateful, misogynistic, arrogant. In regard to Hillary, there seem to be a lot of improprieties connected to her, though she does have more political experience, at least. Trump seems to, as far as I know, have no political experience whatsoever, but he is a billionaire, and for whatever reason, I guess he thinks this qualifies him to run for president of the United States. Who knows? But anyway, it's a very contentious election. And as I said, it seems to be the most contentious and divisive election that we've had in a long time. And there are a lot of people who feel that the world is getting worse. My pastor today was talking about the machine, that is the system that keeps us down, whether it's banks or laws or police or politics or activist groups or lobbyists or churches or whatever it is. But a lot of people feel helpless. Perhaps lack of finances. Lack of education, lack of opportunity, I don't know, but according to the politicos, we are in a very dire situation, and life is difficult, and America's never been in such bad shape. Now, honestly, I don't really believe that. 8 years ago, when Obama was running, gas prices were at between $4 and $5. Now they're at around between $2.50 and $3. Unemployment was at about 11%, I believe. Now it's at about 5.5%. People are buying houses again. Employment is up. Things actually seem better. But there is, from at least political people and the people who follow and believe politicians on either side, that the world is in horrible, horrible shape. And only the next president, whether it be a man or a woman, can make it better. So, as I said, I don't really think life is worse. I think a lot of things are in many ways better, but I think there are also, of course, obviously a lot of problems, troubles. There seems to be an epidemic of African Americans being killed by police without justification. There does seem to be a lot of anger. A lot of people are very angry against the politician they don't want to run, and on and on and on it goes. And then I think, well, if the world is that bad, and I think in some ways there are a lot of problems, obviously, I don't think, there are many, many problems, what can we do to change it? Can we change the world? Can we make the world better? And my answer to that initially is no, we can't. We can't make the world better. Why? Well, because it's the world. First of all, it's huge. I don't know how many millions of square miles there are geographically in the world. I know there are over 7 billion people on the planet, and there are all kinds of diseases and injustices and poverty and starvation and all kinds of problems. And again, the politicians would like you to believe that the world and America specifically is headed for disaster and it's awful. And I don't know if it's as bad as they'd like us to believe, but there are a lot of problems. And can we affect change? Can we make a difference in the world? And again, in the world, my answer is no. I don't think so. At least not initially. So what do we do? Well, I think we do what I do as a start. And what did I do? Well, I started off sitting alone one day, looking at Facebook, and I saw this ad for an online degree in history, an online master's degree in history. And as I said, I'd always wanted to get a master's degree in history. I've loved history since I was about 8 years old, and I've always specifically been interested in presidential history. So on a whim, I decided to apply for this course, and there was an entry essay. It was quite difficult. It really, not literally, but it just about killed me. I mean, it didn't literally almost kill me, but it definitely exhausted me. It was far more difficult than I thought it would be. And then when I got accepted and I started the process, I felt very quickly overwhelmed and outclassed. I was looking at the form in which other students had to respond, and I felt as if I had no idea what I was doing, and that everyone else in the class, they were doing, but they were smarter than me and had much better things to say. And yet, I stuck with it. And when I say I want you to do what I do, that's one of the things I want you to do. I want you to do two things, actually. I want you to find something you love, something that interests you, something maybe you've been interested in since you were 8 years old. And I want you to pursue it. You don't necessarily have to pursue it as an educational goal, though it could be, or it could be a new job, or it could just be something that you get up a little earlier in the morning to spend time working on. But I want you to find that thing, and I want you to do it. And in that way, by pursuing your goals, by pursuing your passion, I think you're going to find that you are making a difference in your private, personal world. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, so what's the point in that? That doesn't change the world. That doesn't make the world better. But we need to all start somewhere. And I know that when I feel good, when I feel confident, when I feel proud of myself, that I'm able to share that positivity with other people. I'm able to be more loving, be more kind, be more generous, be more open, because I'm doing something that makes me feel good about myself. And when I feel good about myself, I generally feel better about others. So I want you to find something you love, and I want you to start it. And then I want you to complete it. Now, I don't know what's in your mind, if you're thinking of something that you'd like to do. And I don't know if there is necessarily a completion, but I want you to continue it for as long as you can until it brings you to the next phase. And I have to say that I got to feel this very exciting, almost giddy feeling of completion twice, because I turned in my final thesis. And when I turned it in, that was truly one of the happiest moments of my life. And I woke up, and the next day I was just so happy and I felt so great. It was just a wonderful, wonderful feeling. And it unfortunately only lasted a couple of days, because my teacher sent back my thesis and there were about 100 corrections on it. And I had to go through and answer all her objections. I was surprised to learn that the second draft was much more difficult than the first draft, and it took me twice as long. That was a big surprise to me, but I finished it. It was hard, it was exhausting, it was tiring. There were times I procrastinated on it, and even a couple of days I didn't do anything on it. But finally, what happened was, at about the third and a half week, my teacher very tactfully and gently hinted that maybe I should turn it in soon. So I got that email on a Thursday, and I said, okay, I need to finish this thing. And I turned it in Sunday night. And turning it in the second time didn't feel quite as good as turning it in the first time, but it still felt good, because I thought, well, I'm sure she'll send it back and there'll be more corrections, but it can't possibly be as difficult as this was. Well, about 2 days later, 3 days later, I got it back and she liked it and I was done. And I live alone, and so I didn't really have anyone to celebrate with. So I posted on Facebook that I was done, and I got a lot of congratulations, and that was the way I was able to celebrate that. And that was a really nice feeling. It was a very nice feeling. And I completed it. And now I can affect the world, at least part of the world, not only through my celebration, not only through my achievement, but I now have another door that I can open to give me more opportunities for employment or for speaking or for history or writing or something. I'm still kind of exploring all that, or I will be. But I now have something I can add. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that I have a gift of inspiration and encouragement. And as I said, now I have a new resource to develop that. Maybe I can teach community college history, which I would love to do. Maybe I can be a public speaker, which I would love to do. Maybe I could write more books, which I would love to do. There's a lot I'd like to do. But the point is, because I finished this goal, I now have the societal and academic credentials and recognition to do so. And that's, as I said, that's why I want you to do what I do, do what I said, and that's to find that thing that you love, then start it, and then finish it till you get to the end of that level, and then go to the next level. How do we make the world a better place? As I said, we can't, at least not initially. But what we can do is we can influence our own sphere, our own sphere of influence. There it is. We have our own sphere of influence. We have people in our lives whom we can affect, whom we can inspire, we can provide for, we can take care of, we can help. And we do that by strengthening our own lives, by building on our own abilities and talents and interests. And then we go to the next level. Now, as I said, all we can do is what our sphere of influence allows us, but what if our sphere of influence grew? I ran into an old colleague today, and he's a retired teacher, and he was telling me how, even though he retired 5 or 6 years ago, that people still come up to him and thank him for how he helped them as a teacher. So he, as a teacher, had this very large sphere of influence. Even though all the people in his sphere weren't present at the same time, he had this very large sphere of influence. I'd like to think that I have had a large sphere of influence, having been in education for 20 years, and really 30, formally and informally. And I'd like to think I've had a large sphere of influence that has carried on, that has continued, and that people can look back and say, oh, I remember when you did this, or you said this, or you helped me in this way, and it was 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, but I remember you. And in that way, I think we can change the world. But I think we can change the world not only from the past, but we can change the world in the present by enlarging our sphere of influence, by finding a passion, by beginning to work on that passion, and then by completing it, and then by moving to the next step, whatever that. And I think as we do that, we enlarge our sphere of influence. Now, if you look at Trump or Hillary, however you feel about them, you have to know that each of them started as babies, and then they grew up. They were small children, and then teenagers, and then adults. And at some point, at least for the beginning part of their lives, they had no sphere of influence. But then they pursued their passions. They started something. They completed it, and then they went to the next level. And they increase their sphere of influence. Now, whether you like Trump or whether you don't like Trump or Hillary isn't the point. The point is they are examples of people who expanded their sphere of influence and are doing their best to make the world better according to their vision. Now, whether or not you agree or disagree with their vision isn't relevant to this discussion. What is relevant is that anybody, I believe, anybody can enlarge their sphere of influence, and anybody can make the world a better place, or they can make it worse. If you look at someone like Stalin or Hitler or Mao Zedong or other dictators, they also enlarged their sphere of influence, but they did it in a way that was destructive and harmful to many, 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 many people. But we can enlarge our sphere of influence. And how large? I don't know. I really don't know. And to be honest, I think the question isn't really relevant or even necessary to ask. All we need to ask is, can I do what I can do with what I have right now, with the resources I have, with the abilities I have, with the passions I have? Can I build on those things? Can I start something? Can I finish it? And then can I go to the next level? And if you can, and you can, and I don't see why you can't, then I think you can increase your sphere of influence. And again, whether it changes the world or your world or a small part of the world isn't really relevant. All that's relevant is you do your best. All that's relevant is you say, hey, I made a difference at least for one person. And if you can do that, I think you can sleep well. I am really hoping this is on because I feel like I've walked for more than 30 minutes, but I can't tell. Yes, it appears to be on. Okay, so it's actually all I really have to say. Now, can we change the world? Again, I think it's not a relevant or necessary question, but I will say that yes, you can. You can change the world, but I don't think that needs to be the goal. I think the only goal that you need to have is, can you do your best? Can you do your best with what you have at that moment, with what you have, with the people who are in your lives, with the resources you have, with the abilities you have? And again, if you can, then I think you can make a difference. Okay, so I think they said my time's just about up. So I'm going to sign off, but if you need a coach, a mentor, a speaker, a writer, an editor, or anything that I can do in my sphere of influence, give me a call at 619-672-0378. Thank you.